know, when we sing that line in that song that says, the Spirit of the Lord is here, His presence, what that means is that you had this awesome opportunity this evening, right in the middle of the week, that you have this awesome privilege to step into the presence of heaven. Right here. That's what it means. You can step right in. But I'll tell you this, church, you make a decision whether you want to take a step. And a lot of times what we do is we kind of say, Lord, bless me, just come to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, church, the Lord is saying, come draw near to me. Step to me. He'll meet you. There's a scripture in Psalms that just came to my mind. It's Psalm 46:10. And it says, be still and know that I am God. I love the scripture. You would think it means that, you know, it's if you know the scripture there in Psalms, it's a lot of, okay, I'll use chaotic. There's a lot of chaos kind of going on there in Psalms. Just like there's a lot of chaos going on in your life and in the world, in our nation, lots of chaos. And right in the middle of the chaos, the psalmist writes, be still. And the reason it says, be still and know that I am God, God speaking, is because we have this human thing that we want to control everything. And God says, no, I just want you to be still in the chaos and know that my presence is near. So church, let's just do that for a second. Let's just be still and know that the presence of the Lord is here. Let's just be still. Now, what I want you to do is to step into the presence of the Lord God Almighty, and I want you to speak into the presence of the Lord the miracle that we just sang about, the miracle that you need in the room tonight. I want you now to verbalize that, church, and just speak right into it. Speak into the presence of God. Speak it. We need health and wholeness. Our church needs health and it needs wholeness. Speak what you need tonight, church. And step into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I want more than ever the presence, your presence, Lord. Lord God, I want to step into your presence tonight. Your presence is all around, and Lord, that's all I need. Father God, as you have told me to pray, I pray tonight for health and wholeness for this church. I pray, Lord God, for those on site and those online, for health and wholeness in their physical bodies. They know who they are. I'm speaking that in your presence into their lives. Father God, I pray wholeness for them tonight. I pray, Lord God, that they believe it. I pray, Lord God, that they receive it. You also told me to start praying for peace. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray for peace. I pray for peace in families. I pray for peace in churches, in cities, in states, communities, countries. Lord God, in Jesus' name, in the Middle East, I speak peace. I speak your presence, Lord. Even though many in the Middle East don't know your presence and who you are, Lord God, I pray tonight that you just invade those areas of our world with your presence of peace. They'll know, Lord God. For this service and what we're going to talk about tonight, Lord, I pray your anointing touch upon me, your servant. I pray, Lord God, those that gave their Wednesday night to come in here, that they leave tonight blessed. Not by me, but by your presence. I pray for that, Lord. Change us tonight. Change us, Lord. Take us out of the chaos and into peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, why don't you give a praise offering to the Lord tonight? I'm just encouraged. You grab somebody this evening that you don't even recognize and you give them a big handshake or a big hug and welcome them. Thank you. Good evening, Cross Point Church. How are you tonight? Amen. Now, are we all filled up on pizza? Right? Wow. Pastor Mike, you cook a mean pizza. All day. I'd walk in the kitchen, he'd be slaving, and I didn't understand why the trucks show up, or, you know, we see people bringing the pizzas in. I didn't really understand that, but that's okay. Now you know that Pastor Mike's not slaving over the pizzas. He slaves in other areas, right? Amen. Yep. Welcome to Cross Point Church tonight, both on site, and thank you so much. If you are joining us online, we don't normally broadcast anything on Wednesday night, but we are broadcasting tonight. We will do that for the next 6 weeks, so if you're at home, and I know there are some at home watching because I was alerted to that, so thank you so much for joining us tonight. Hey, church, we are in a series on Sunday morning called Position for More, and I'm going to give a shout back to my sound booth. My microphone is so hot that I think I'm going to vibrate off the platform here, so if they would give me a hand and do some adjustments, I would appreciate that. We're in a series called Position for More. How many want more of what God has for you in your life, right? I just want more of heaven. You know, and I'm not going to really tonight define what that is, but you are. You're going to have the opportunity here in a little bit to define something that you need from heaven, and I'm going to teach you how to do that tonight. We are in a series, Position for More, when our alignment meets God's increase. You know, it's not learning about how God moves. We haven't been teaching you that for the last 2 weeks, how God moves. What I'm teaching you is becoming the kind of people God will move through. That's what we're talking about. I want to be the guy that God says, okay, you're ready. I've got something for this church, and you're the guy because you're the pastor, and you're positioning yourself to receive an increase that I have for the church. And I want you to be that person as well. So for the first 8 Sundays that we've started here a couple Sundays ago, for 8 Sundays, we've been starting this Position for More. Weeks 1 through 4 is what is increase? What is a divine increase in your life? And then weeks 5 through 8, what do we do with it? And now for the next 6 weeks on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about how to get it. And before you leave tonight, I'm going to teach you some really practical things of how to get heaven to respond to your increase. Now, I told you on Sunday morning, if you were here, it wasn't going to be really deep. It was going to be practical on Wednesday night. So I'm going to give you practical things tonight. Practical things to help you receive your increase. We're calling it habits that lead to increase. So don't forget, church, divine increase is the multiplying of God's presence in us and then his work through us. It's the multiplying of God's presence, his power in us, and then his work through us. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about the habits, just habits of divine increase. And I'm praying that you'll take the next 6 weeks on a Wednesday night, just the practical application, and apply those little principles I'm going to teach you to your life. Now, some things you'll hear the next 6 weeks, you'll say, I've heard that before. But you might hear it a little different in the next 6 weeks, okay? You may hear it a little bit different in the next 6 weeks. So we're talking about habits of divine increase. What do I got to do, Pastor, to receive a response from heaven? Well, what's a habit? Now, I've heard many, many messages on habits. This is not a six-week habit series. This is just the habits that we can put in our lives to get a response from heaven. And some of those you're going to hear in the next 6 weeks. You're going to say, I'm already doing that. But I think I'm going to teach you a different way of some things. I think you're going to hear some different things, I pray. So let's define a habit, a behavior pattern developed by frequent repetition. First internal and then external. That's outward. See, God doesn't got to work something on the outside before he changes you on the inside. God's more concerned about us on the inside, right? He wants to transform you on the inside before you make an impact on the outside. I'm not saying he doesn't work on the outside. I'm just saying he's going to work on inside you first, right? So a habit is just the behavior pattern developed by frequent repetition. Now, when I was growing up, my mom told me I had some bad habits. I ain't going to tell you what those are. I know a couple of you came up tonight to tell me that God delivered you from some bad habits. And you know who you are, right? That's great. I'm going to instill in you really good habits. Repetitive patterns, right? This past Sunday, we talked about Jesus going to the temple when he was 12 years old. Now, if you weren't here or didn't watch the broadcast or anything, I'm going to do a little bit of review with you to set the foundation for what we're going to talk tonight. Luke 2, 51 through 52. Now, Jesus, 12 years old, goes with his parents to the temple. It's kind of a common thing. Like, in the Jewish culture, it was pretty normal for kids of 12, 13 years old starting to make this what we call transition into adulthood, and they're starting to do more. You know, it wasn't mandatory to go there, but mom and dad's going there. And how many know when you're 12 or 13, 12 years old, mom and dad go to church, right? Like me, I got drugged there. Whether I was going, wanted to go or not, I'm going. I don't think Jesus was drugged to church, but I tell you what, he went to church when he's 12. And we talked about on Sunday how he was amongst the teachers. And mom and dad took off, went back home, figured out Jesus wasn't with them. I talked to you about how back then they traveled in large groups. A lot of times the women with the women, the men with the men. And so Mary probably thought that Joseph had Jesus. And Joseph probably said, well, he's probably over with Mary. You know, one of those things, right? And they get back and he's not here, right? Ever see the movie Home Alone, right? Jesus is old, but you see mom and dad just like, and they head back to the city and they find him in the temple. And they find him listening to the teachers and asking questions. And so the Bible says people were amazed because he was talking so eloquently, right? And that's what's going on. And so they get him and, you know, they're going to take him back home. It's a lot of extra travel. Nazareth, Jerusalem, 60, 70, 80 miles-ish. got to walk it. Bible says it's good. It's a good day. It's farther than that, right? It's a haul. So mom and dad had to do it a few times. You just walk in there, you want to strangle them, right? Right? Wouldn't you want to? Like, now, right, Mary knows that that's a divine person, right? She knows the revelation of Jesus, but she doesn't have the comprehension of what this is going to look like later. That's kind of how she, right? Ever wonder if he ever got spanked? I'm just wondering, right? Right? Seriously. Well, he didn't sin. Let's not go there, right? And then we pick it up, so they take him home. In Luke 2, 51 through 52, and it reads, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He's going home after this. And he was submissive to them, to mom and dad. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. You know, she's beaming, right? That's my 12-year-old kid in the temple. He's not teaching anything. He's listening, but asking some really good questions. So mom's just proud. She's proud about a bunch of things, right? Verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. We talked about that in detail on Sunday morning, right? But notice now, folks, I didn't have that scripture of 251 on Sunday morning. Because tonight I want you to realize that Jesus headed home. So where he increased in wisdom and stature in favor, alignment with God, and credibility with man, was at home. Going about his business, hanging out in the carpenter shop with dad, learning a trade, and growing up. He learned it at home. Right? It says so. They went home, mom's beaming, Jesus starts to grow. The wisdom part is this, the application of truth that aligns with God's will. He's learning that. Stature is, of course, intellectual and physical preparation and growth. He did that. He's doing that. Favor with God, that's alignment. With man, he starts to get some credibility. We talked about that this past Sunday. So tonight, I want to talk to you about the first habit. Now, we can't talk divine increase habits without talking the core habit of prayer. Can't. Oh, pastor, I've heard so many things about prayer. I can't hear another one. You're going to like this. Very practical. But we're going to start with prayer. We got another one next week, and then we're going to get some deeper ones in the last 4 weeks. One of them might step on your toes. One might not. I challenge you to come back. We're going to talk about a little bit about prayer tonight, but we're going to talk about the habit of prayer. There's a big difference, church, between praying and the habit of praying. Okay? I'm not going to talk to you tonight about just pure praying. I'm going to talk to you about the habit of praying. The habit, which is the pattern that is a repetitive pattern in your life. Of praying. Pastor, I pray. I trust you do. But we're going to talk about this habit of doing it. Why? Because prayer is the habit that aligns our lives with heaven, with God. Without it, you have no alignment. See, when you're growing up like I was, we're taught that prayer is always asking God for something. And that's okay if you do that. But church, I'm going to tell you the habit of prayer is so much bigger than that. It's not just asking, and that's fine to go. The Bible talks all about praying and asking and seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be open. All the things that we talk about prayer, that's all great. But I think that sometimes when we're involved in the midst of the chaos or whatnot I talked about, we forget something. We forget that the habit of prayer is not trying to get God's attention. It's stepping into his presence where his power already is active. God, God. And the more you pray and get into the habit of praying, the more you are stepping into the presence of his power that's already active. We don't do that. Or I don't know if we think about it like that, church. I don't know if we think about that type of thing. Because we're coming to him normally with a request of a need. And again, nothing wrong with that. But what you're really doing, and what I don't think we understand sometimes, and I just want to bring it back front and center, is that what you're really doing is you're entering into the presence of the Lord Almighty, and he's already active. He's already doing it. You're coming into it. You're stepping into his presence. And the more you have a habit of praying, the more you're stepping into his presence. Now, don't you want to step into his presence as often as possible? Right? That's what the habit is. See, the habit of prayer repositions you from reacting to what you see to responding to what God is saying. See, like, we're talking about positioning yourself for more. So you're going from the attitude of getting something, yes, and that's okay. But now I want you to reposition your thinker to say, I'm just going to go inside of his presence a whole lot. I'm just going to go in. And I'm going to go in a lot on a regular basis. Pastor, I can't pray that much. I didn't say anything about the actual quantity of time. I didn't say you would go in there hours and hours a day. I'm just talking about the habit of being repeating, doing it, right? See, this prayer thing, this habit aligns with God's will. Jesus taught us how to pray. In Matthew 6:10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just wanted to touch on this. How could I not? Your kingdom come. God, bring your rule, your authority, your power, your reign into the world and into my life. Presence, right? Your will be done. I'll make this as simple as possible. I want what you want more than what I want. Right? God, I don't even know what that is right now, but I want what you want more than what I want for me. And boy, church, that's a tough prayer. Especially if you don't know what he wants for you at the particular time that you're praying. And then it says on earth and on heaven. It really means what's true on heaven, perfect obedience, peace, holiness, which is what's going on in heaven. I want that to be a reality on earth. I want it to be here. See, prayer doesn't change God's will, but it certainly positions us with it. And you'll never know what it is unless you go into his presence and spend some time with him on a regular basis. The habit of it is the, like, really the important thing. We'll teach you something here in a moment. Prayer doesn't change God's will. It just positions us with it. So let's talk a couple quick basics. A couple quick basics about prayer, and then I'll move on, okay? Now, prayer habits change our dependency. It just does, right? John 15:5 says, apart from me, Jesus talking to the Last Supper, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? He's just laying it out. He's a good old Pentecostal guy around food, right? Just like we did tonight, right? Did they have pizza back then, right? They had manna, right, and the bread. All you got to do is slap some sauce on there, a couple pepperonis, and they're good to go, right? He's teaching them that apart from him, you can't do anything. That's a declaration that says, I can't do this any longer without heaven. That's the declaration that you're making every single time you go back to heaven in a habit of prayer. You're saying, I can't do this. It's a declaration of dependency. I can't do it anymore. If you only go once, it's kind of like you're going to get something and then you don't need to go back. It's when a pastor says to somebody, how often have you prayed about that? And they say, I prayed about that. I said, how often did you pray about that? And I said, do you have a habit of praying about it? I prayed about it. I'll pray with you too, right? Like my shirt says, right? Read my shirt. It says, tap me on the shoulder and I will pray with you. Let's pray. I wear this into the coffee shop, right? Tap me on the shoulder because the Bible says when two or more gather,
He's in the mix. His presence is there, right? And we're going to pray. It also talks about surrender. And this is something we don't want to talk about. Luke 22, 42, listen, it says, it's saying, Father, if you are willing, Jesus going to the cross, right? If you are willing, remove this cup from me, the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's kind of a sobering thought that Jesus surrendered to God's will. But he also came back and he said, hey Lord, what do you think? You think you could pass this cup away from me? And, you know, but nevertheless, I can't say, folks, that I have prayed a prayer where I would go asking for something or I had a situation, and then I would say at the end of it, nevertheless, your will be done. It's like waving the flag that says, okay, you know, at least I got it out, but Lord, you're going to do what you want to do anyways. I would rather go pray and say, Lord, your will be done. Tell me what it is. Because I'm not going to change it anyways. I would rather know it and have a habit of prayer to go get it than not know it at all. Right? Jesus surrendered. The more we pray, the better the habit we have in our life about praying, the more the position we take of surrender. So, if prayer is the habit that we develop, and alignment becomes the life that we live, and increase becomes what God releases, right? There's kind of like the pattern that happens. If prayer is the habit we develop, repetitive, changed behavior, right? We're doing it a lot. Alignment becomes my life. I'm going to just align myself in prayer, in the habit of doing it, and going to the Father and doing it all the time. I'm going to reposition my thinker and say, this is how I'm going to do it all the time. And in a few minutes, you're going to see how that works in real time, right? And increase. The increase then becomes what God releases. See, look at how that formula works, church. That is the biblical formula. And look what we have to do first before we get something released into our life. We've got to pray about it. Habitually. Develop this attitude of prayer. Robin, say hallelujah, right? Our prayer leader here at the church, right? You got to go and keep going and keep going and keep going. You got to see how often they went here in a minute. The increase in your life becomes what God releases. I'm telling you, it's just like, you know, he finally looks at pastor and says, finally, you're getting it. I will release to you. Why? Because you are now prepared to receive what I want to give you. You came enough times. Your faith is growing. Listen to this. Some of you are waiting for God to change your situation, and God is saying, I want you to change your position first. And how many times do we go to heaven and say, God, change my situation? And I'm telling you right now, I think our situation changes when we change our position of why we go in the first place. When we start shifting that position of why we go to heaven, I think God starts saying, they're finally going to get it, right? Let's go back to Luke 22, 42. Now, Jesus certainly developed a habit of prayer. We know he did. The scripture says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not your will, but yours be done. He prays that, right? Did you notice that he never removes the cross, right? The cross doesn't disappear. Jesus still goes to the cross. How many are happy he did tonight, right? How many are saying, oh, Lord, thank you. What's the purpose of the prayer then? Jesus is aligning himself with his Father. He is positioning himself in a space to go to the Father and teach us how to do it, right? But what did it do for Jesus? What did it do? What did that prayer do? Because he says, nevertheless, what's the purpose? What did it give him? I'll tell you, it gave Jesus strength and it gave Jesus resolve. Because he's fully man. Because as you learned Sunday, of course, we know he subjected himself to humanity, body, right? Even though he was fully God. And his prayer gave him strength and gave him resolve. For us, habit of prayer shifts your position in three ways. I'm going to give them to you real quick. The more you go, the more your pressure goes from pressure to presence. The more you go, the more habit of prayer you have in your life, it goes from pressure to presence. You know you go to heaven in prayer and there's tons of pressure. Right? You're feeling overwhelmed. The more you go, the more his presence overwhelms you. It shifts you from fear to faith. The more you go. Same situation, different posture. It's a shifting that goes on. It's a repositioning. The more you do it, the more you feel it. Because in fear we say, what if I have cancer? What if I'm not going to make it? What if I have this? What if I can't afford my mortgage payment? That's the fear. And the more we go in the habit of prayer to heaven, the more we come back and our faith says, God is with me. And that supersedes fear. Why? Because presence invades fear and drives it out. It's a repositioning of our thinker. Right? The third thing, it shifts us from reaction to alignment. Right? We react emotionally. We're human. We begin to start responding spiritually. I was on the phone today with somebody for an hour. And I said, listen, you have got to start speaking health and wholeness into your situation. You have to got to start speaking health and wholeness into this situation. I was telling her. You have to pray and make a habit of prayer and speak into the situation. It's a shifting of alignment with heaven. See, the habit of prayer doesn't always change your situation first. It changes where you're standing when you face it. I'm going to reposition how I think about this, and I'm going to go to heaven because I just want to go past. I just want to go and get presents. I tell you what, Pras, I'm not even going to ask for anything. I'm just going to go in His presence and be still and let Him be God. See, church, when your position changes, so does your perspective. When your perspective changes, everything shifts. Let me show you something in Acts chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. Should be on the screen behind me. And when they entered, they went up to the upper room. Jesus has ascended and left planet Earth. He gave some direction to the disciples and a bunch of others to go into the city and wait for a promise of the Father. So they entered. They went up to this upper room inside of the building where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas. Of course, we're talking to the disciples here. Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and of course, Judas, the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, the brothers, and many others, 120 of them. Okay? And there's that phrase right there that they went there for a reason. They went there to devote themselves to prayer. They were going to be very persistent and committed to pray and establish a habit of prayer. How do I know that? Because it wasn't going to be for a day. In fact, you know the scripture, it's 10 days of prayer. But they went into it not knowing the specifics, but they went into it, devoted themselves, committed themselves to create a habit in their lives. We've got to pray. We don't know how long this is going to be. Church, when somebody says go pray, Jesus says go pray, and he doesn't tell you how long it's going to be, they went and they devoted themselves to prayer, and they said, we've got to establish a habit because we're going to be here a while. And so they were, right? And they didn't go into that room with power. They stepped into the room in an alignment with the instructions that Jesus gave them, and they stepped in to go pray and devote themselves to a habit of doing it and waiting for something that Jesus promised would show up. You know the rest of the scripture, the story. 10 days later, God poured out his power. The Bible says many began to speak in other tongues. Thousands got saved. And the birth of the church that you sit in today took place. Why? Because some people went to an upper room and committed themselves to pray as a habit. And said, I'm going to devote myself, commit myself to develop this habit. How do I know it was a habit? Because after the outpouring, they didn't stop. They continued to do it, even unto their death. Right? Now that is a habit of prayer. Right? If prayer becomes your habit, you will stop being controlled by what you're facing. And start living from where God has positioned you. A habit of prayer doesn't always remove the battle, but it certainly repositions you to fight it differently. I'm going to teach you tonight, before we leave, exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? When you walked in here today, you should have gotten a paper and a pen. If you don't have a pen, the pen's in the pew in front of you. If you need a pen, you don't have one, can't grab one, track one down, because you're going to need to write a sentence down in a few minutes. We're going to go through an exercise. You don't have to get up. You don't have to move around unless you want to. You don't have to, but I'm going to teach you exactly what I'm talking about tonight. Bible says in James 4:8, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Just so you're aware, the presence of heaven is here. So I'm going to lead you through an exercise. I will tell you what I need you to do, and I'm just going to ask that you do it. And listen to what I say, because I don't want you to get ahead of yourself. Okay? We're going to do exactly what Psalm 46:10 says. For the next minute to two, I want you to hold your paper in one hand and the pen in the other, and I want us just to be still. And I want you to say, God, just reveal yourself to me. I want your presence. So let's just be still, church, for a minute. Right where you're at, in the stillness of the moment, I want you to ask God a question. And your question will be, God, where in my life are you calling me to increase? So as you sit there, start just, God, where in my life do you want me to increase? Just listen. Continue repeating the prayer. God, where do you want me to increase? What do I need to do? Where is my increase? You may get a word while you sit there, and you may get a thought. You may get a picture. You may even get just this, a sense inside of you. I want you to hold on to that. Don't dismiss it. Just hold on to it. Don't dismiss what you're hearing. Just receive it. God, where do you want me to increase? Oh, Lord God. Where is it, Lord? What do I need to do? Is it prayer? Do I need to pray more? What is it, Lord? God's going to give you a picture, a word, a sentence, a saying. Something will just show up. And if it doesn't, keep asking the question. Lord God, where do you want me to increase in my life? What do I need to do? God responds to you. I think he'll respond to you, if not already. I want you to take the pen and the paper. I want you to write down on the paper the response. It may be one word. It may be a sentence. It may be a picture. It doesn't matter. I want you to put it to paper, whatever it is. And if you don't have it yet, I want you to continue to pray and say, Lord God, where do you want me to increase my life? Do I need to read whatever? Read more, study more, pray more. Do I need more compassion in my life? Whatever it is. What do I need to do? Tonight, on this Wednesday night, Lord, just tell me. And then put it to paper. Something? Is God speaking today? You got something? Right? Okay. Put your hand on top of the paper and start praying a simple prayer. Lord, I say yes. I say yes to what you're doing. I say yes. I say yes tonight. Whatever's on that paper, your hands on top of it, you're going to pray, Lord God, I say yes. I accept the assignment. I'm going to reposition my life to chase after this increase. This is what you want me. This is what you want me to do. I'm going to do it, whatever it is. If you've not received anything from heaven, just continue to pray the prayer as a habit. Lord, where do you want me to increase? What do I need to do in my life? He will speak something to you. And then start praying over it in agreement with his will that you're going to do it. Pastor, I don't know what's going on. Hold on. You're going to get there. Hold on. Just say, I agree. I'm going to ask one brave soul to come up here with the pastor and share with all of us what God is speaking to you. You know who you are, so I want you to make your way down front. I want everybody to hear everything that you have to say. But you can hold it. Go ahead.
As loud as I could hear it.
Go ahead.
Read my word daily, nightly, every morning, and every night. Read my word. Finish that Bible in 1 year.
Oh, there you go.
2 years and read my word.
There you go. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you. Person number two. And you know who you are. Don't make me call you up. Yeah. Come on up here, Rhonda. Would you share with us?
Every time I asked, the Lord increased. I said, Lord, what do you want me to increase? And he said, in kindness. And Pastor spoke. And I said, Lord, where do you want me to increase? He said, increase in your prayer. And Pastor spoke, and I said, where do you want me to increase, Lord? He said, in practicing my presence. And then he spoke clear and he said, remember your first love. And I said, yes.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. Give praise. Can my wife share?
So I work a very stressful corporate job with almost all non-believers, some who are very unkind to me. But God said, witness more anyhow. And then my second one was, which I think goes along with the witness more, trust me more, that he's going to cover me when I witness more.
Hallelujah. Give praise. Paper in your hand, I want you to now pray over it and say, thank you, Lord. I want you to pray over the piece of paper. Whether you came up right or not, just pray over that paper and say, Lord God, thank you for what you just gave me. And in a minute, we're going to make a commitment. But just pray over that and say, Lord God, thank you for that increase. Thank you for the will that just showed up in my life. I'm going to do it. Lord, thank you for speaking to me on Wednesday night at Cross Point Church. And again, if you feel like you didn't hear something, you just continue to pray the prayer as a habit. Lord, where do you want me to increase? And focus in on that. Continue to thank him. I thank the Lord that he's not distant tonight. I thank the Lord that his presence is here. I thank the Lord that he's not silent, but speaks. And you just witnessed him speak 3 times. And I know he's spoken to most all of you. But you just watched as the first part of the journey. It's just the beginning. Now here's your assignment, your commitment, your devotion, like we just read in Acts. You're going to take the piece of paper. You're going to take it home, and you're going to commit yourself to a habit of prayer over that increase. How often, Pastor? A habit. A habit means when your behavior becomes repetitive and changed. And I got a feeling it's not once a month. Develop the habit to pray. And then I want you to watch what God does. Because he will speak to you through that. He will increase you because you're coming to him in his presence on a habit of prayer. And you're going to continue to do that. And you're going to watch the increase of that in your life, church. You're not going to get distracted. And you're going to see that piece of paper every day of your life unless you throw it away. And I'm going to challenge you not to do that. If you have to put it up on your refrigerator like we did at home years ago with the magnet or whatever you have to do, you've got to commit yourself to a habit of prayer over that increase. pretty good. That is the very launch point of your first habit of prayer on what God just spoke to you tonight. And you'll pray over that on a regular basis until God releases you. I don't think he'll release you. Continue to pray over it. I would challenge you folks to come back on Sunday morning as we continue a study on positioning us for more of heaven. Increase. God always works on the inside before he works on the outside. Next Wednesday night, we'll give you another practical habit with a way of implementing that into your life. Let's go out tonight doing what we do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you brought us in here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have spoken your will to many, if not all, on site and the many online. Lord God, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, that they will commit themselves. The Bible says, devote yourself to a habit of prayer, a commitment to pray that increase in their life, and watch the fruit of that increase in their life come to fruition. So maybe one day down the road, they could come to the platform and testify. God bless them, increase them. Why? Because they devoted themselves to a habit of prayer. We thank you, Lord God. Bless us as we depart tonight, Lord God. And bring us back on Sunday morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, let's go out tonight singing praises to heaven.